Let it be this morning, oh, there were God's people, the church of God. I tell you what, to feel the presence of God and to know that our God is alive and well. Our God is alive and well and moving, moving, my Lord. Let's take our Bibles and make our declaration before Him. Say, this is life. I will honor it today. As this word brings life to my spirit. In Jesus' name. Amen. I want you to turn, if you would, to 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3. You know, the Word of God is very precise in its writings. We know the Spirit of God, as it says in His Word, came upon men, as they wrote the Scriptures. It says in Scriptures that they just didn't write down what they were thinking, you know, when they got up that morning, were not feeling well, so they wrote something down, and the next day they got up and they were feeling good, so they wrote something good. No, none of that. None of that. The Scriptures were written under the unction, which is, unction just means the anointing of the Spirit of God. Now, let me just put it to you this way as we talk about the Scripture. You know, how many times has you been going, you're doing things, and all of a sudden the Spirit of God comes upon you? And maybe he'll speak to your heart and mind and say, look, I want you to pray for this person. And you just feel the presence of God, and you start praying for them, then all of a sudden you feel the release, and you stop praying for them. Or you're going about doing your daily business, you know, going to the store, going to work, whatever, and all of a sudden you feel the Spirit of God saying, you know, I want you to speak to that person about me. Tell them I love them. Tell them that I'm the way. And all of a sudden God makes a way, and you're with that person, and you say, look, I just want to share with you something. And you tell them about Jesus, how He can make a way for them, how He is their Savior and Lord. Just the anointing that is upon your life to do it, then after it's done, the Spirit of God, you feel that release of the Spirit of God. Or you're somewhere and the Spirit of the Lord will say, you know, I want you to go and pray for that person. And you see them and you go and you ask them, can I pray with you? You know, and they say yes. You know, you pray with them, and after you pray with them, you feel a release of the Spirit of God, just the anointing that comes upon you to do the work that God requires or tells us to do.
Amen.
That's the Word of God. These men, which they were all basically Jewish, you know, these men were called by God to write down the Scripture, to write down what God was saying in the heavens towards His people, as Christians, as born-again Christians, not just Christians, as born-again Christians, you know, God, we are His children. We are sons and daughters of the living God, and the power of Almighty God is upon our hearts and in our lives, and God is wanting to use each and every one of us to bring glory and honor to Him upon the earth. God will not use angels, you know, to preach the gospel. That won't happen. It has been designated only through the Scriptures towards God's creation of humanity to bring forth the message of salvation and how what God can do. Now you say, well, angels can do, yeah, God will send sometimes angels to bring messages to His people, to tell them something or to whatever. But God has given the message of salvation for humanity to preach the gospel. And preach means just to herald forth out the gospel of Jesus Christ, that He is the way, the truth, and the life. And there's no other salvation but through Him and Him only.
Amen.
No other way. no other way. Not just a little bit here or a little bit there. There's no little bit here or there. There's only one way. One way. One way. And that's Jesus Christ and what he did at Calvary's cross.
Amen.
Look at 2 Timothy chapter 3. Verse 16. It says, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. So here he's saying in the first part of 16, all scripture is given by inspiration of God. Now the Greek says, if you have the Bible that we gave you, all scripture is God breathed. That's an amazing statement. It's not just inspiration. But can you imagine the word that is upon your lap that you have is God breathed upon men to give it to humanity? How precious is that word? God breathed, not just inspired by God, yes, but God breathed. That means breathed from God Almighty to men to write it down for us to have it in 2018.
Yeah.
My God!
Yeah.
How profitable it is for doctrine, for reproof in us, to correct us, so we can live right.
Hallelujah.
And godly unto our God.
Amen.
And when we turn away from the scriptures,
go ahead.
I'll say it this way, and I don't mean it in a horrible way, all hell will break loose.
Amen.
Because we will go in the wrong direction. But that word is God. I mean, how many books are in the Bible? Anybody knows?
66.
How many? 66, you're right. How many in the New Testament? 27. Good. Man, y'all good. Y'all all get an A+. That's it. I'm going to give y'all report cards next week. Everybody gets an A+. But it's God breathed unto us. We need to always remember that. And it has to be rightly divided. It says that the word of God is sharper than a two-edged sword. Anybody has swords in here? I know Joey has some. Yeah, everybody. Okay, yeah. A two-edged sword that's sharp on both edges. That means When you take a sword and you do it this way, it cuts. And when you come back this way, it cuts again. There's no what dull side to it. It's sharp on both sides. So that means when we get the Word of God in us, as we constantly read every day, as we study the Scriptures every day, that it is alive and well. It is a sharp-edged sword that cuts to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit in our hearts and in our lives. That the power of Almighty God is using it to carve out things that need to be taken out, but also to put things in our hearts and lives that we need to live our lives pleasing unto our God, because all Scripture has been what is God-breathed upon us. Now, I want you to turn, if you would, to the book of Luke. Luke chapter 4. Matthew, Mark, Luke. Luke I'm sure everybody made it okay with this cold weather, huh? Ooh, my Lord. As I told people on the route, I said, I'm finished with winter. That's it. I don't want to see another winter. I don't want to have another winter. I'm tired of it. And probably in the summer when it's 110 index, I'm going to say I'm tired of summer. I don't want to see another summer, and I don't like it. But you know what? This was bitterly cold, John. A little beyond, you know. I kept saying, where's global warming? I just don't see it. I mean, my God, I don't see it. Everybody laughed because we all know it's not true. Because the Word says we will have seasons to the end of eternity. We'll have all four seasons. Now, we may not see all four seasons in this area, but we, you know, but it is there, all four. Luke chapter 4. I want you to look at starting with verse 15. Now, this is something. Now, let me, before we read, I want to preset the before what happened. Jesus was born where? In Bethlehem. But he grew up where? In Nazareth. Wait, y'all get an A? My God, y'all good. Y'all, the knowledge of the Word of God. That's great, guys. You know what God's Word says in Proverbs? That as we know the knowledge of the Word of God, that we are well educated. That's what the Bible says. That we are well educated if you know the Bible. And it says if you don't know it, that a person is ignorant if they don't know the Scriptures. Wow, that's interesting. And God knows what he's talking about. But here we see Jesus grew up in Nazareth. He was born in Bethlehem, but grew up in Nazareth. And Jesus started his ministry at what? 30 years of age as far as public ministry, as far as going out and preaching and healing and doing all these things. When Jesus, at 30 years of age, we know he was baptized with the Holy Spirit as he was baptized by John in the water. And when he came up, it's like there was like a dove, not a dove, people, but like a dove of the Holy Spirit that came upon him. And the Father said, this is my Son in whom I am well, what? Pleased with. And so from that day forward, Jesus went out to Capernaum, went out to certain Lystra, all these areas throughout that area, and was preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. And as he was going, he was picking or getting his disciples, the 12. And they were coming to him. And they were coming gathering, and he would go into certain places and preach the gospel, and people would get healed. People would get healed of leprosy. People would get healed of all kinds of blood diseases. People would get healed of all kinds of things. The crippled, the lame would walk again. The power of God that moved through Jesus Christ was almighty power. And as he went around and did all that, he came back to his homeland of Nazareth. And as he goes into Nazareth, the first place that he goes, and we're going to read it, he goes to the synagogue. And that's always. That was the place of where the scriptures were read constantly. Where the scriptures were read from that place. If you want to put it this way, that was the church building of that day. That kind of maybe helps you a little bit. That's where the scriptures would come forth. That's where they would read the Old Testament of Isaiah and Genesis and Exodus and Leviticus and Numbers and Deuteronomy and Psalms and Proverbs. All those books of Esther and Ruth and all that, they would read it out. Jesus comes in. Now, you have to remember, Jesus had brothers. He had sisters. It says in scriptures. It says that he had his mother still alive, Mary. His father had passed away by that time when he came back. I'm not sure when he died. They don't know exactly when. But by the time Jesus started his ministry, his earthly father, Joseph, had passed away. So here Jesus comes in into Nazareth. And he goes in and he walks into the synagogue. And anybody could go in that was Jewish, you know, in that area. And if the high priest of that area would acknowledge that they could go up and read scriptures, they could say, I want this scroll. That's how it was. I want this scroll of Isaiah, and they bring him Isaiah. Or this scroll of Genesis, and they bring it to him. And they would read the scriptures on the scrolls that they had. Jesus comes to the place, and he comes to the synagogue, and they're all gathered there because it's the Sabbath day, which is important. On Sabbath day, we come to church. Every day is a Sabbath day now that Jesus died on the cross. Every day is Sabbath. We constantly serve our God, but we need to get together and get to church so that the power of Almighty God can be there and we can help one another. And it says that he walked into the synagogue with all his brothers and sisters and everybody there. And he goes in and he starts to read the scriptures as the high priest or the priest gave him acknowledgement that he could read. And he says, I want the scroll from Isaiah. And this is what was said. It says in verse 17. Let's start at verse 15. And it says, and he taught in their synagogues, being glorified of all. And he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up. And as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up for to read. And there was delivered unto him the book or the scroll of the prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written. And it says this. Now, this is amazing. He stands up there. Now he starts to read. And he says this. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. Well, I'm sure there was a few that wanted to throw some stones at him. Because these people would get upset. Because they knew Jesus. They knew Jesus as who? The one that was Mary's son. The one that was the carpenter's son. The one they grew up with. You know, at times when he would come back to Nazareth, his brothers and sisters would come and they thought he had lost his mind at times and they'd want to grab him and try to bring him home. Not his mother, but some of the siblings, because they'd get upset with him because he would declare who he was, but they didn't believe, not all of them. And he says this, And the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and the recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them who are bruised, and to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. And he closed the book, and he gave it again to the minister or the priest, and sat down. And the eyes of all them who were in the synagogue were fastened on him. And he began to say unto them, this day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears. Now, one of the hardest things, even as Christians, sometimes is to preach to our families or to try to tell them about Christ.
Amen.
It's true. Because they know what we were. They still kind of know who we are. They just don't believe what God can do. But look, don't be surprised that your Messiah, Jesus Christ, the King of Kings, was in the same boat. But he was declaring him, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. He has come for me to preach the gospel to the poor, to heal those that are oppressed of the enemy, to heal those that are sick in body. You know, he's declaring unto him that he is the Savior that they've been waiting for. Can you imagine his brother and his sisters that are in the back saying, that? Oh, I can't believe that. No way.
Boy.
Not him. I know what he did.
Know where he's been.
Know where he's been. Now, Jesus never sinned. Never. But he was declaring who he was, people. And they didn't believe. Now, I want you to turn, if you would, to Mark chapter 6. Mark chapter 6. This will give us maybe a little better understanding about Nazareth. Look at verse 1, and it says, and he went out from this and came into his old country called Nazareth. and his disciples followed him. And when the Sabbath day was come, he began to teach in the synagogue. That's what he was doing. And that when he was reading the scriptures, teaching them. And many hearing him were astonished, saying, from whence hath this man these things? And what wisdom is this which is given unto him, that such mighty works were wrought by his hands? Is not this the carpenter? That's not the one. You remember he used to get drunk way over there and used to do that and used to. That's all people know about us sometimes. But they don't realize what God has done on the inside. The change of heart, the power of Almighty God. They're saying, that's just the carpenter's son. That's nothing. He's nothing. Not realizing that's the Messiah, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. He's the son of Mary. God, come on. The brother of James and Joseph and Judah and Simon. And are not his sisters here with us? And they were offended at him. But Jesus said unto them, a prophet is not without honor, but in his own country, among his own kin, and in his own house. And he could do there, starting with in verse 5, and he could there do no mighty work, save that he laid his hands upon a few sick folks and healed them. And he marveled because of their unbelief and went around about the village teaching. It marveled him that as he went to Nazareth and he got up in that synagogue, and I'm sorry, I need to drink a little bit of water if you don't mind. Right. And as he started to preach the gospel, as his brothers and sisters looked at him and said, that's just a carpenter's son. We know who he is. That's just our brother. He's no better than us. The people came out after him. And it says something that grieved my heart, which Jesus said, I couldn't do the mighty miracles that I wanted to do because of their unbelief. Don't you think Jesus being raised in that place in Nazareth, he loved the people? I mean, you know, he loved the whole world, but he had a great love for his mother, his brothers, his sisters, his neighbors down the road that saw him playing in the yard, the people that he fellowshiped with, the people that he saw in the businesses. He loved them because he knew he was the only way. And them rejecting who he was because of unbelief. They didn't believe that he was the Messiah. And because of that, he could not do the mighty miracles except just a few little things. We need to make sure that we do not allow unbelief to enter into our hearts and lives at all. We have to reject unbelief. You might say, well, what can God do? God can do all things. We need to believe, we need to stamp that upon our minds and hearts that our God, our Lord, our Savior, the God that gave us everything, he can do all things. Now, that doesn't mean that at times we're not shaken in our faith because of what's happening in our hearts and lives, what's coming against us from the enemy. We might be shaken a little bit, but I tell you what, we still have faith in him, believing God, you can do all things. God, you can bring the prodigal son home. God, you can bring the prodigal daughter home. God, you can bring the prodigal grandson home. God, you can bring the prodigal granddaughter home. God, you can bring the prodigal wife home. God, you can bring the prodigal husband home. The power of our God. That unbelief does not enter at all, that we believe him. We may not see it maybe sometimes with our physical eyes, but we believe that our God is almighty. He can do it all. He can make things happen. He can change situations around in our hearts and in our lives. He can encourage us. He can heal our bodies. He can do mighty things because of the mighty God that he is. My God, what a God we serve, huh? Praise God. That he can change situations around. He can change our finances around. He can give you a job when there's no job.
Yes.
He can bless you beyond measure because of the God we serve. That's the mighty God. He can bring depression away from our lives. He can heal our bodies. That's the power of Almighty God.
Amen.
He can bring back things together. He can bring back families together. He can bring back husbands and wives together. That's the power of our God in who He is. That we believe Him no matter what in who He is.
Amen.
The power of Almighty God. It says that we are the righteousness of God. In 2 Corinthians, it says that we are the head and not the tail. We are above and not beneath. That's found in Deuteronomy. My God. That doesn't mean we boast with pride and arrogance. But because we are the sons and daughters of the living God, we are the head. Thank you, Lord. Praise God. But you know what? We can still bow down and be a servant. My God. Let me tell you, Jesus could bow down and wash feet. Let me tell you, we should be able to have that attitude of bowing down. Not in praise to somebody, but bowing down to help. Bowing down if we have to. Because we are servants of the greatest servant of all that gave His life for us. The power of Almighty God. The power of Almighty God. You see, pride and arrogance, that's what got Lucifer in trouble. That pride. And people, if we don't watch it, pride can set into our hearts. And it will be the downfall of every human being. Because that takes on the characteristic of Lucifer in who he is. When he said, I want to be higher than God, he made a mistake.
Amen. Go ahead.
Oh!
Cross the line.
He crossed that line, buddy. You're right. There's no one higher than our God. He is Almighty God, and he sits on the throne. Because He's powerful and almighty. That's the power of our God. The presence of our God. In who He is. And He marveled because of their unbelief. And He went around about the village teaching. You might say, well, why did He go around teaching? Trying to build their faith. He loved them still. The almighty, powerful God saw their unbelief. Tried to do and couldn't. You're saying, this is God. He could do. I know. But because of their unbelief, he said, well, let me go around the village and just try to teach. Teach the word of God. To build the faith in them. To come against or dispel their unbelief. Their unbelief. Now, I want you to turn, if you would, to Isaiah 61. Isaiah 61. Be closing with this scripture. You might say, why do you want to read Isaiah 61? Isaiah 61 is what Jesus read when he was in the synagogue. He took the scroll of the Old Testament of Isaiah, opened it up. He knew where he was going. My God, he's the Word of God. And he started to read it. This is what it says in Isaiah 61. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of prison to them who are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord, and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn. Now you might say, well, Pastor, I've noticed that in verse 2, Jesus stopped in the middle of that verse in the New Testament and didn't read all of the Old Testament. You need to go and read upon that and see why. Verse 2, it says, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. And in the New Testament, Jesus stopped because he was proclaiming the acceptable year of the Lord, his coming. He was here. Now, the second part is the second coming. The vengeance that will come. So he didn't say that. He rightly divided the word of truth. Look, our God is all wisdom and all knowing and all powerful. He stopped it there. But it says this, that he's opening up the prison to them who are bound. People, we've all been bound by sin, by evil. The devil has done a mighty work upon humanity. I mean, I'm telling you, it's bad out there. People, the only hope is Jesus Christ.
Amen.
That's all.
Amen.
Only hope is for him, as we are agents of the living God, and the churches around the world, churches many, just as we get with people to share with them that Jesus is the only way. He's the one that can open those prison doors and set the captives free. Jesus Christ, when he died upon the cross, the thing that he said, which was amazing, it says, he says, it is finished. Finished. When he was on that cross, what did he say? It is finished. That means the work of Christ was done. The enemy had been defeated for all of humanity. Oh, Jesus had defeated him. God the Father defeated him a long time ago. But for humanity, on that cross, Jesus defeated the enemy and all the works of the enemy and on humanity that's trying to bring destruction to humanity's mind, spirit, soul, and body. It is finished. Jesus proclaimed, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father except through me, which is Jesus Christ. The only way. The only way, people. The only way. The power of Almighty God. The power of Almighty God in who he is. Praise God. Praise God. It is finished. Look, the devil will try to hold people in bondage to evil. And let me tell you, if we try to fight him, we will lose.
Yes.
Because he is more powerful than humanity. But I tell you what, there's an agent called the Messiah, called the Lord, called our Savior, called our God. Mighty is he that defeated him for us. The power of Almighty God, the blood of Jesus Christ, who cleanses man of all sin and gives him power to have victory and life and liberty and freedom. The power of Almighty God that sets men free from alcohol, from drugs, from evil. The power of Almighty God is only through the blood of Jesus Christ and what he did at Calvary's cross. And all we got to do is accept it.
Amen.
You might say, Pastor, I've accepted it, but I failed. That's okay. Get up. Get up and say, Father, I come to you and I ask for forgiveness again. But Lord God Almighty, make me strong. Get in his word. Accept what he did and let him build you up in the almighty faith of the power of Jesus Christ. And let me tell you, one day you'll look back and you'll say, these things are not entangling me anymore. Because old Slewfoot likes to entangle things on our wrists and on our legs just to try to bring us down and destroy God's people. But Almighty God says, I've come to give you life and for you to have it more abundantly. The power of our God, people. The power of our God. We've been set free. We just got to accept it.
Yes.
Amen. Almighty God, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. And when you do fall, you get up.
You never want to cry yourself off. Keep drunk.
That's right.
Brush it off.
Because this is what will happen.
Yes, indeed.
Something's going to happen. And you say, man, I did it again. I failed. And all you want, this is what the devil will say. Oh, you see, it doesn't work. There's no power in the blood. You're nothing. And sometimes we just want to sit there and wallow in the times. But this is what we do. We do like David did. Man, look, let me tell you, David, God says David was a man after God's own heart. My God. David wasn't perfect, but the power of God in him. And David, we know, committed adultery. We know David You want to say even killed a man for it, for his wife. Because he put him in the front. Where he shouldn't have been. The man's husband. Yeah. The wife's husband. Select that. Facebook, I'm sorry. Y'all didn't catch that till I said it? Okay. Lord have mercy. But I will inflict on. Did horrible things, people. But he bent his knee. And said, Father, forgive me. Father, forgive me. And the power of God came into that place and forgave that man for murder, for adultery. And let me tell you, don't think we're high up. Let me tell you, sin is sin. Sin is sin. Maybe we haven't done whatever, but hey, look, sin is sin. One sin without the blood of Jesus will keep us from heaven. Now, the blood is sure now. We have sure foundation in the blood. But he asked forgiveness, and God mightily used that man. Come on. My God. What a God we serve. So you get up and you say, Father, make me stronger than ever before, Father. Lord, do a mighty work in my heart and life. Lord, I don't want to be the same anymore. No. Holy Spirit, work in me and through me and help me to be the man of God or the woman of God that I need to be. Oh. And Father, show me what you want me to do. There's no retirement in the kingdom of God. You know that? No retirement in the kingdom of God. There's always something to do. We don't work for salvation at all. But we work because we are saved.
Yes, sir.
Very good. We do things because we are saved to bring glory and honor to Him. But we don't work to get to heaven. Nope. Our works are as filthy rags unto Him. It's nothing. It's the blood of Jesus. So you pick yourself up and you say, I'm going to be like David. I'm going to pick myself up. I'm going to do what God calls me to do. I'm going to be like Saul, which was Paul, and pick myself up. Can you imagine living his life in prison and doing the things that he did, killing people, having people arrested, Christians, born-again Christians, arrested, children killed, all kinds of evil people. People burned. He thought he was doing right. He was a religious man. Thought for the Pharisees, thought he was doing right. And let me tell you, he was riding to Damascus to do some bad things to Christians. But they were praying, and that's the difference. Saying, Lord, do a mighty work. Father, save his soul. Lord, do a mighty work in old Saul at that time. And it says, the light shined upon him. He fell off his horse. He looked up, he said, Lord, you know what that means? He got saved. And let me tell you, I pray for people, and I'll be honest with you. I pray, Lord, whatever it takes. Whatever it takes to bring them to salvation. Lord, whatever it takes to bring them back. Whatever. I don't care. I'm to the place where if they lose it all, that's best. Then have it all and split hell wide open. Because you can lose it all, get right with God, and God can give you back what you had in the world. Oh, huh?
Yeah.
Pray. Say, Lord, whatever it takes. Holy Spirit, whatever it takes. Lord, whatever it takes. Lord God, whatever it takes, Lord God, from their finances to their homes to whatever it is, Lord God Almighty, move upon them, Lord. Their souls are important to us as they are important to you, Father. And let the power of Almighty God move upon that situation. As Jesus got up in that synagogue and said, He was the way. And they rejected. And unbelief set in. And no miracles happened. We want Jesus to stand up in the synagogue in all the churches this morning. And as the preachers preach, declare who Jesus is. And let the people say, we believe. We believe who he is. He's the Messiah. He's the King of Kings. He's the Lord. He is my God. He is my King. He goes before me. He sets me free. He puts me on the right path. He is my God forever and ever. I believe his word, and I stand upon it. Thank you, Lord. Praise be unto our God.
Amen.
We have another 30 minutes.
Go ahead.
You'll have to know by now. I hear rumblings. Is it mine? No. We can say, no, no. Rumblings of stomachs. Everybody's hungry. Praise God. Look, guys. Jelaine and I, we appreciate y'all so much. We love y'all. Okay, thank you. We love you guys, and we appreciate everyone. You are a great bunch of people, I'm telling you. Mighty is the church in Gateway.
We have a great name, man.
Mighty because of him and because of you and what he's doing. Would you please stand?
Yes, sir.